የተሰራ የትኛውም አጋንንታዊ ስልጣን ሲመታ በኢየሱስ ክርስቶስ ስልጣን የተመታ ይሆን። ከዚህ ሰዓት ጀምሮ እግሩ ይሰወር። ይህ የቤተ ክርስቲያን ስልጣን ነው። ጌታ ኢየሱስ ክርስቶስ ለጴጥሮስ የሰጠው ስልጣን ነው። በጌታ በኢየሱስ ክርስቶስ ስም ወንድማችንን ፈታው፣ ይፈታ። ከዚህ ሰዓት ጀምሮ ነጻ ይውጣ። በጌታ በኢየሱስ ክርስቶስ በእግሩ ላይ የተሰራው አጋንንታዊ አሰራር ሁሉ የተበላሸ ይሆን። ከዚህ ሰዓት ጀምሮ የተፈወሰ ይሁን በጌታ በኢየሱስ ስም። አሜን።
ሃሌሉያ። አሜን። So as I said, we are preaching that God wants sons. We know that when we are born again, we become a child of God. When we accept the blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, we are a new creature. Old things are passed away, but we are still a child. If you come to Christ when you are 70 years old, you are still a child. If you came to Christ when you were 10 years old and you are now 70 years old, and you did not walk in the fullness of Christ, you are still a child. So God wants us to be mature. He wants the kingdom of God in us. Amen. He wants us to begin to be changed into His likeness, into His nature. When God created Adam in the garden, He said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." And so He breathed into Adam. He breathed into him the breath, into his soul. He breathed spirit life into him. He didn't do that for any other animal. The scientists of the world would have you believe that we're just another animal. But God said that man should take dominion over the earth. Take dominion over his environment. But there came a problem. The problem was sin. They disobeyed God. So now, amen, they are in the image of God, but not in the likeness of God. We are in the image of God in that we have emotions. Amen. You know, God has emotions. There are things that make God angry. Disobedience, rebellion. God becomes angry at that. And we have also that nature. Amen. God has love. We have love. Amen. We are made in the image of God. But because we are born into sin, we no longer have the likeness of God. We are not like God anymore. Now, if you are born again, if you have accepted the blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, the penalty of hell has been taken away from you. He has washed away his memory of your sin. But you are still not in the likeness of Christ. There is a process. God wants you to begin that process. Coming further, further, further. Amen. So he wants you to grow from baby, child, to mature adult. He wants us to behave like Jesus Christ behaved when he was on earth. And we can only do that if we have his kingdom in our heart. His kingdom in our mind. His kingdom in our soul. Our will. Our desires. Our emotions. Amen. Everything about our soul, he wants to transform into his kingdom. Now, when John the Baptist came on the scene, he began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is coming near." Amen. And so repent means what? It means to change. When you repent, you have been going in one direction and you turn around, you stop, you turn around, and now you go in another direction. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Repent is not just confess and say, "I'm sorry, I was a sinner." Confessing is a good start. You see, in the organized Catholic Church where they have priests and this type of thing, they have the people come in and read. The people come in and confess their sins. Amen. But it does not change the sin nature of man. Because the man,
from the Pope.
Well, first of all, the priest cannot forgive you.
Only
prayers to Jesus Christ. We don't go through Mary. Amen. The Word of God says we have an advocate that we can go to Jesus Christ directly.
Amen.
But just confessing the sin, the man is back again the next week. He has sinned again. And he's back again the next week. And he's sinned again. And he keeps sinning. Because it doesn't bring him the blood of Jesus. It does not bring the life of the kingdom of God in his soul. So God wants to save our souls. Do you know what I mean by our souls? If you were listening, you caught what I said, that there are four parts of our soul. It is my will. Amen. Some of us have a very stubborn will. Amen. Do you know what I mean? I see some women that are very stubborn. I see some women that are very stubborn. Not here. I don't know you. But I think to myself, they're young. I'm thinking, oh, the poor young man that marries that woman, she's very stubborn. God wants to change our will. You know that Jesus had to give his will to the Father? Do you know that? What did he say in the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, Father, can you let this cup pass from me? Amen. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will, Father. You know what I mean? Amen. We have our will. We have our mind. Amen. Some people have a very strong mind. Well, I have my opinions. This is the way I believe about that. We were preaching the message of the kingdom many years ago. We had some women that came from a certain Pentecostal church. And they sat and they listened to the message for 7 years from me. Every time, every Sunday, when I finished preaching, they would come up here. They would put their hand on this. And they said, Brother Mark, we were always taught thus and thus. And we believe thus and thus. I said, Sister, I am just telling you what the Word of God says. But she was telling me what their religious belief was. It wasn't in the Word of God. You see, I'm only preaching the Word of God. I am not preaching for your religious traditions. Amen. So, brethren, it would be good that you set your mind to obey and understand the Word of God. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Yes, your mind has to be changed. Some people have got such a strong mind that nothing can change it. Let me tell you, unless you're willing to submit your mind to what the Word of God says, you cannot be among the sons of God. Hallelujah. Desires. Man desires everything. Everything that he sees, he desires. And there are many things to see. Many things to desire. Amen. I want to read you a verse here a little bit later. That if the kingdom of God message has quickened in your heart, you will desire nothing else except the kingdom of God, and you will give everything you have for it. Let me ask you a question. I see you sitting here in church today. How many Bibles do you have? Let me see your Bibles. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, I see a few. Do they sell Bibles here in Addis?
Yes.
Do you have a Bible at home that you didn't bring? How do you know if I'm telling you the truth? When I read from the Bible, are you sure that I didn't change it? Listen, there are men who are changing words in the Bible. You need to know what God said. You need to believe that this is what God said. Do you believe that? Do you believe this is what God said? I talked to a man one time. I talked to him about his sin. The man was practicing sin. I don't mean he just sinned one time. I mean he was continuing to sin all every day. I gave him the verse in the Word of God that says that's a sin. I said, God says this is an abomination. The man had been to college. He had been to a Christian college. He had been to seminary training to be a pastor. And now he says he chooses to walk in this sin. I said, my friend, what are you going to do with the Word of God that says you are living in sin? I said, how did your Bible school deal with these things. He said, well, the Bible school teachers told us these are the opinions that the Jews had about God a long time ago. This was Jewish culture. So when you can say something like that, you are saying, this is not the Word of God. This is just some old beliefs and some old cultures and some old ideas about God. So if you say that, you are then saying that I will write my own Bible. And that's what men are doing today. Amen. Listen, adultery is still adultery in God's eyes today. Fornication is still fornication today in God's eyes, and it's still a sin. But in our heart, having an unclean mind, having unclean thoughts, is still a sin in God's eyes. And it has to be dealt with in our soul. How many of you are praying, God, give me a clean mind? Give me clean thoughts. Take away my thoughts that are not according to the kingdom of God. Are you praying that prayer? Are you asking God to clean up your soul? You clean up my mind. You know what? The devil comes against you even in your sleep. Even when you dream, if you dream unclean dreams, you can come against them even in your sleep. I remember very well when I was a young man, I heard this word. And I remember one time in a dream, the devil came and he brought an unclean thing in my dream. And in my dream, I rose up and I said, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And I am sending this spirit to the abyss. In my dream, I did that. And it was gone. Let me tell you something. If you're troubled in your dreams and you start taking authority over those spirits and send them to the abyss, you are going to get a reputation in hell. Devils are going to send the word out to other devils. Stay away from that woman. She will send you to the abyss. Amen. You know, demons don't want to go to the abyss. They beg Jesus. Are you come to torment us before our time? Please send us into the pigs. And they promptly killed all the pigs. Amen. No, unclean spirits don't want to live in pigs. They want to live in men. But you have the power to drive them out of your soul. You have the power to shut the doors, shut the windows of your soul. I said that your desires are going to be changed by the kingdom of God. Let me read you a verse in Matthew chapter 13. It's a parable. It's verse 44. Now this is a parable that is only one verse. Very short parable. Very powerful. You know, brethren, Matthew 13 is all parables about the kingdom of God. Do you know what Jesus' parables are? Do you know why they're parables about the kingdom of God? Because they bring you up higher into the spiritual level. You see, many, many people heard Jesus tell these parables. They heard him talk about a man that goes out and sows seed in the ground. The birds eat some of the seed. Some of it falls on stony ground. Amen. Some of it, the sun comes out and it's scorched, you know. But some of it grows. And they went home and they said, oh, that was nice. He talked about sowing seed. But you see, the disciples, do you hear me? The disciples, the ones that were training to become sons of God, there was something in them. I think this is why Jesus chose them. You know, he's walking one day. He comes into the village. And here sits Matthew. Here sits Matthew at the tax collector. Jesus said, Matthew, come and follow me. You know, he looked into the man's heart. He said, Jesus said in himself, here's a man that is tired of his old way of life. He's not happy. He's tired. He's a publican. You know what that meant? That meant he's cheating people. He tells them they owe 100 birr of tax. They only owe 80. But he puts the 20 in his pocket. And they never know the difference. Maybe he writes a little receipt. Amen. But the man was tired of his way of life. This man will make a son of God. So, here's the parable. Verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven. Now, kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God, it means the same thing. Let me ask you a question. When you hear the word heaven, what do you think? When you hear heaven, what is heaven? Where is heaven? Come on, tell me, where is heaven?
Okay.
Did you say where? Up there somewhere. Amen. Well, let me ask you another question. Where is Jesus? Is he up there?
Yes, he's in he say, this brother in my heart.
Ah, Jesus isn't, but is Jesus in heaven?
Jesus samay ko na.
Yeah, he's in heaven.
Ah, samay ko na kano ben.
But when I ask a little child, where is Jesus? She says, Jesus is in my heart. So you see, a little child knows this. But now we get the idea that heaven is up there somewhere. Amen. So if Jesus is in here, then heaven is in here. If Jesus is not in here, heaven is somewhere else. So when he comes into my soul, he brings his kingdom of heaven in me. Why do I want any other kingdom? Why do I want the kingdom of Ethiopia? Why do I want the kingdom of United States of America? I don't want that kingdom. I don't want to be part of that kingdom. I wish I could have a passport that says Kingdom of God. Son of God. But you see, we're still living where these other kingdoms are. You know, man has even made kingdoms of these churches. Kingdom of Pentecostal. Kingdom of Coptic. Kingdom of Roman Catholic. Name some others for me. You know the names. Kingdom of whatever your name is. No. It's not the organizations, brethren. It's a kingdom that you cannot see. But sometimes a man sees it. Not with these eyes, but he sees it when he hears the word. And in his heart, he desires that kingdom. We still need to read this verse. Amen. The kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, in which when a man has found, he hides. And for joy, therefore, goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth the field. Why don't I read the next one too? It's very short. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man seeking beautiful, precious pearls, who, when he has found one pearl of great price, he went and he sold all that he had and he bought it. Have you found the pearl? Did you find the treasure buried in the field? And what do you call that pearl? What do you call it? What's its name? What do you think? Ah, somebody said Jesus. Yes. Not just a name. Not just something I can write. Not just a sticker I can put on my house or my car. You know, it's been a long time ago. Back in the 1970s, I went to a church. And they had a thing going, a little sticker. It said, I found it. Amen. And a certain sister I knew, she said, no, I'm not going to take that. Jesus is not it. I found him. Hallelujah. And so, some people, when they see this, they say, I'm going to have to sell everything I have. I'm going to give everything. Everything else goes second place. My father and my mother. Father, I cannot go into your old business. I found something else. I have a job. I could climb to the big ladder and go up to the top of my job. I had a job like that. I had desires like that. I was young. I was 30 years old. I was going to come to the top. I was going to be the chief. One day I discovered I cannot serve two masters. I'm going to have to sell the other and buy the one. I told Jesus that. I said, I want all of your kingdom. You know what he began to do? He began to make my path narrower. Narrower. All the other things that had nothing to do with the kingdom of God had to fall away. In other words, I had to sell all. I didn't do it all in a day. I didn't do it all in a year. I didn't do it all in 5 years. But in the course of 20 or 30 years, I'm getting rid of all the other things in my life. I want the pearl. I want the treasure. I want Jesus. I want him to control my mind, my desires, my will, my emotions. Amen. You know, some people have very strong emotions. Some people get very angry. Some people are easily swept away. Oh, I fell in love. But dear little sister, do you see the man you fell in love with, the boy? There are things in his life that are going to be a problem for you. Do you see that? He's lazy. He doesn't like to work. Amen. He's not reliable. He doesn't keep his promises. Oh, but I love. Now come out. Jesus wants these things under his dominion. Then there's people that have a problem with anger. Well, my daddy was like that. My grandfather was like that. It's my family. Come now. Even if it came from the family spirits, Jesus wants his nature to control you. He wants you to overcome. Did I say that we are also preaching overcoming? What are we going to overcome? What are we going to overcome? The devil? Sure, of course. But you know, the devil didn't make you do everything that you do. Sometimes it's my flesh. My flesh rises up. Whether there's devil or no devil, my flesh rises up. So, young man, you hear me? You're going to have to overcome your flesh. You're going to have to put it under the dominion of the kingdom of God. What are the three things we overcome? The world, the flesh, the devil. And the world presses on us. Oh, do this, do that. Oh, everybody's doing this. Everybody thinks this way. Come on, you're living in the Stone Age. Come on, get with the 21st century. In your calendar, are you in the 21st century now? We were here 5 years ago, and it was your year 2000, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay, so you're in the 21st century.
Yes.
So are we. I don't know whose calendar is right. It doesn't matter. Jesus knows the right calendar. Amen. The Father knows when it's time to send Jesus back. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, so we're talking about the kingdom of God is like something that you find and you want with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Isn't that what God said in the Old Testament? that we should love the Lord our God with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength. So it's not something new, is it? Amen. Well, let's look at something else. Matthew chapter 20. The disciples have been with Jesus now for at least 3 years. 3 years. 3 years. How many of you would like Jesus to stand here and be your teacher for 3 years? Every day. Every day you would have a chance to walk with Jesus, to listen to Him. Surely you would know all that He is trying to teach you, right? Would you? His disciples didn't understand. They saw that He had great power. They saw He could raise the dead, heal the sick, open the blind eyes, and they thought, surely He has great power. So they're thinking Israel. Yes. Israel. Yes, we're going to have the kingdom again. We're going to be like in the days of David. And He's the man. Put Him on the throne, He'll be the king. Get rid of these Romans. Get rid of these Russians. Get rid of these communists. And we'll have the kingdom of God. And we've got the king to do it. Amen. Maybe it's get rid of these Americans. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, you see the kind of kingdoms they were thinking about. They wanted their national identity. And when we take control of Jerusalem, we're going to take the rest of Israel, and then we're going to take some other countries, and we're going to take the world. Yes, we're going to take it by power. Amen. And so, James and John, can I sit on your right hand and can I sit on your left hand? Well, the mother is the one that said it. You know. What did Jesus say? He said, you don't know what you're asking. Do you really want to be on my right and left in my kingdom? Are you going to drink my cup? You know what the cup was? The cup is persecution, tribulation, martyrdom. Oh yes, you're going to lay your life down. You ready for the cup? How about my baptism in fire? How many of you enjoy fire? I don't enjoy fire. How many of you enjoy getting burned on your hand? I don't like that. How would you like to have your whole body, your whole soul put into fire? Well, it isn't going to be natural fire, but it's going to be very intense. You know why he's going to do that? Because he needs to burn out the flesh. You see, our human nature is full of wood, hay, and stubble. Wood. Put it in the fire. What happens? Burns. Hey. Will it burn? Quickly. So, the human Adam nature has to be changed into the nature of Jesus Christ, which is what? Gold. Silver, precious stones. Isn't that what you want to bring to Jesus at the end of the day? So Jesus said to them, "This is not the way my kingdom is." In the Gentile kingdoms, Gentile means what? Gentile means world.
Yes, world. Gentile means world.
In the world kingdoms, they have their princes. They have the great ones that rule over them. And these rule over the people down on the bottom. You have a pyramid, you have a hierarchy. And you know, that works good in the world. If you have a world army, you put the generals on the top, and what are the other captains and lieutenants and colonels, and down here you have the soldiers. That works good in the army. If you have a big corporation, I suppose Toyota is a big corporation, isn't it? You have the president, and then you have all these vice presidents and supervisors, and then all the workers. Well, if you're going to have a nation, like, let's say, like Ethiopia, America, you have the president, and then you have the Minister of Defense, the Minister of Finance, Minister of Education, all these. Now, this is what the disciples wanted. They wanted one of these best positions, right hand and left hand. And so, you see, they had a thinking about the kingdom of God. And the sad thing about church history, and church history has brought us right up to today, is that the kingdom of religion has done the same thing. They put a man as the head. And Jesus said, no, I am the head, and you all are equal. Now there's another story. I'll try to keep it to an hour. Ooh, we're getting close. Amen. One more. Luke chapter 17, verse 20. Luke 17. Luke 17. All right, verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." In other words, the kingdom of God is not something you can see with your eyes. It's not something you can identify and say, well, we have the president, we have, you know. It's not even something you can say, well, we have a pastor, we have this, you know. We have our own place to gather, therefore we have the kingdom of God. No, that doesn't make the kingdom of God. You know, I don't know what it was like for you people back in the time of the communists. Do you remember these days? How long ago was that when it ended? It came to an end, what, 1990 maybe?
Yes.
About then?
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
Almost 17 years.
20 years almost?
You mean that they fell down? Or
yeah, that they fell down.
Yeah, 21.
21 years ago.
Yes.
Amen. Some of you don't remember that, do you? If you're under 20 years old, you don't know that. I don't know what it was like for the Christians. But I know that those who wanted the kingdom of God still had it in their heart. I went over to Russia, to Ukraine, and I heard the stories that they told me. They didn't have a place to gather. They didn't have pastor. They just had what Jesus said, where two or three of you gather together in my name, there I am in the midst. You know what? They had something better in those days than they have today. Now they gather together in big assemblies, and they have no life of the Spirit. They go through the ritual, sing the songs, pastor reads the word, a bunch of deacons, assistant pastor, no life. No life. They can say I'm Pentecostal, but when they were in persecution, they heard the Spirit of God. Spirit of God said, we're going to meet over in this little side street. We'll go gather in this little house. they had to hear from God. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm telling you, brethren, tribulation is coming in Ethiopia and the whole world. Are you going to have, when the government tells you you cannot gather like this, when they put your leaders in prison, are you still going to have the kingdom of God in you? Jesus, the next verse, he says, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God, amen, is not up this little street and in that place of tent. It's not down in that building. It's not in that city in America. It's not in some city in Germany. It's not in some city in Canada. No. The kingdom of God is in here. Because this is where the king lives. The king lives here. And you know what? This is a house. This is a tabernacle. This is a temple. This is the temple that he will come suddenly to. Malachi says he will come suddenly to his house. Are you going to be ready when he comes suddenly to his house? You see, there's two comings. There's a secret coming when he comes suddenly to his house, and nobody knows except where he comes. And then there's another coming where every eye will see. But first he's coming secretly to his house. And when we have many houses together, we have the city. We have Mount Zion. Come on. It's in Hebrews. It says it very clearly that we are Mount Zion, the city of the living God. Well, praise God. I think I told you enough for today. And we ask the Lord to bless you. Amen. Amen.